You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Welcome to Screens of the Stone Age, the podcast where scientists review movies about prehistoric people. I'm Dr. Joshua Lindell. I am a paleoanthropologist studying Neanderthals, and I'm here with...
I'm Dr. Kimberly Plomp. I am a bioarchaeologist. I study the human skeleton, health and disease, and evolution.
And I'm Dr. Ross Barnett, paleogeneticist, interested in the evolution of the felids.
And today we are doing another anthology episode. We are reviewing a series of Stone Age advertisements. I put together a playlist on YouTube. I've been building this playlist for quite a long time. Every time I find a new Stone Age episode, I add it to the list. In the end, I realized I think there's something like 50... individual commercials on this playlist.
It's a lot.
And they're mostly 30 seconds each, so it doesn't take that much time to go through, but I'm wondering if we're actually going to get through describing 50 commercials.
Also, to remember them is hard.
Maybe we have to make this a double episode. We'll see what we get through. But there's not that much to say about each one. I feel like the main thing we can do is sort of identify the common themes, because it's kind of surprising there's not that many themes running through these episodes. There's one or two main reasons why people will put a caveman in their commercial, it seems. So do we want to just go through these in the order that I added them to the YouTube playlist?
I think that makes sense, and then people that are watching them at home can sort of know where we're at, where we're going. I've got them all kind of listed out, so I'm happy to do the kind of description of what's happening.
Sure. I think the first few are like fast foods. So yeah. I think the first one on our list is Doritos.
Yeah. First one's Doritos, which I found quite good. So it very much plays on the shape of Doritos as being similar to a lithic point. And so this imagines a world where cave people live beside bags of mass produced, highly processed Doritos, which are made from domesticated maize. Anyway, so first of all, he gets the idea for hafted weapons from looking at the Dorito shape. So he uses a Doritos chip as the spear point of his weapon, which is quite amusing. These are, I think, supposed to be modern Homo sapiens. So they grunt. They don't have language. They're kind of unkempt with messy hair, but they do have shoes, and they also live alongside ridiculously huge dinosaurs. And they also, later on, we find that they can use Doritos to make fire by kind of bashing two Doritos together. And they can also use it to make art. So anyone that's eaten a bag of Doritos or generic maize chips knows that they have lots of kind of flavor dust on them, which you can use in a similar way to red ochre to paint stuff. And that's what this K person does. So he uses it to make a nice bit of Paleolithic art, and then when he's finished, it looks like the what's it called, the from the Sistine Chapel, the very famous god reaching down to touch Adam, I think it is. Anyway, he does that in Doritos dust on the wall, and then when he's finished, he sort of sits back and admires it, and accidentally licks his finger, and the taste explosion in his mouth is so huge that he then ends up licking off his masterpiece from the wall, which I thought was quite funny. It definitely showed that some thought had gone into it, and I quite liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Then the next one is for some kind of soft drink, I think.
Sierra Mist.
Okay. That never made its way over this side of the Atlantic.
Nah, I didn't think so. It's so, like, I don't remember it very well, but I've had it before. It's just like a 7-Up or a Sprite, I think.
Okay. So this one is, I think it's set during an ice age, although it also says it's set 5,234 years ago, which is very much not in the Pleistocene. And it's got a cave person who, I think he's wearing jewelry. Does he throw a snowball or something? Or basically something hits him on the head and knocks him out.
It starts off very, very hot in a desert, and a rock falls and hits him on the head, and then immediately an ice age blows in.
Yeah.
And then Several thousand years later, 5,000 or whatever, some scientists dig him up. And like we've seen in so many of our movies, he's in a block of ice, but then they uncover the block. He wakes up and he is so extremely refreshed because that's kind of what Sierra Mist is like. That's the joke about these Sierra Mist commercials, is somebody does something that is extremely refreshing, like falls into a pool or whatever, and then they're like, that's kind of what Sierra Mist is like, or something like that. I can't remember the tagline. So Sierra Mist is like you're a caveman in a very hot desert, and then you get frozen for 5,000 years in a glacier, and that's kind of what Sierra Mist is like. It's that refreshing.
Okay. And then he wakes up refreshed, but then he gets hit again by a snowball that knocks him out. So there's a bit of kind of recursion there, which is quite nice. The next one, Burger King, obviously a big hitter. They've got plenty of kind of advertising money behind them. Yeah. I thought this one was all right.
It's very much the same as the Doritos one.
Yeah. So it's about how prehistoric people invent everything that's great. Mm. And so it kind of has a lightning hitting a tree. And so that's how you get fire. And they don't really know what to do with fire. They're stupid. They're cave people. They've got, looks like he's got a pet dog that's a kind of unicorn pug. I guess that's supposed to be like a prehistoric lap dog or something. He tries to get it to fetch the fire, but it kind of burns to death, I think. Then they try and use fire to play football with. So they play like ultimate fireball, and that doesn't work so great. Then he tries to use fire as a kind of romantic gift. He gives it to his cave person girlfriend. And it sets her hair on fire, so that's also not great. And then they try and use it to hunt some mammoth. So they're kind of carrying the flame close to the mammoth. And the mammoth is flatulent, and that turns its rear end into a flamethrower. So that's also not great. So he gives up at this point and just throws his way the fire, which luckily lands on some mammoth meat, I think it's supposed to. Mm. And then suddenly it starts to smell really good. And so all the kind of other cave people come along to try and smell what this great smell is. And of course, it's the flame-grilled flavor of Burger King invented by cave people with fire and mammoths. And yeah, that was fairly clever, I thought.
And this one was French, although it's a great commercial because there's no words in it, so it doesn't matter. But the text at the end says, if I know my French... grilled meat, the best thing humans have done with fire.
Where?
Yeah, makes sense. And clearly, yeah, a lot of money. It was quite well produced. And then more big hitters. So McDonald's seems to have, I don't know if they were copying Burger King or if they just, there's so few ideas in advertising that they went all in with cave people, because there's like three in a row McDonald's meals adverts.
All from different countries too.
Okay. The first one's definitely UK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first one's for the Happy Meal. It's set in like a modern UK. That there's like a built McDonald's in the background with the cave person in front who's got like a massive unibrow and a club and speaks gibberish. And then he gets given a Happy Meal. And I think it's got like those Transformers toys in it,
yeah,
which turn.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if these are, were they like dinosaur Transformers toys?
That's what I thought. So they turn,
which is why he's a caveman.
Yeah, yeah. Like a milkshake into a pterodactyl, or a portion of fries into a T-Rex kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that was it. I mean, it was just, dinosaurs, caveman. Let's just put a cave person in front of a modern McDonald's. The next one, I don't know what country that was from. Do you know, Josh?
The one where they're not speaking, well, it has, they're speaking in grunts, but it has translations at the bottom in a different language. The language was Finnish.
Okay. Yeah, trust the Finns. So this one's got a male and a female cave person. They're trying to light a fire, and it's not working. The suggestion is that these are a couple, I think. And then a man with a giant egg comes over. and sits beside them. He seems like the third wheel in this cave. And I thought, okay, he's got an egg. That's interesting. But then inside the egg, he's got a McDonald's burger, which he eats. And then suddenly the girl is interested in him. I think that was the gist of it.
The second time we've seen a fast food pulled out of an egg, because in the Doritos commercial as well, the caveman found his Doritos inside eggs.
Okay, there you go.
I translated the text at the bottom. So they're speaking in caveman grunts, and then it's translated into Finnish at the bottom, and I translated that Finnish. Mm. And so the guy walks up and pulls the hamburger out of the egg. The other guy says, "Jarmo, what's that?" And he says, €2 hamburger. And so... This is, I think we're starting to see a couple of themes here. So you've mentioned the theme where cavemen invent everything, but yeah. also the theme where cavemen are too stupid to know how to use these inventions yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have this other theme of food used to be so hard to get back in caveman times. It used to be so hard to get food. But today you've got Doritos in a bag that are really convenient. You've got €2 hamburgers. And so I think we're going to see that theme come up again and again when it comes to all these convenient foods. Okay. And so people are using cavemen as like a juxtaposition to the convenience of modern society.
Yeah, okay. That is a big theme. Certainly with McDonald's one. So there's another McDonald's one, which has a mammoth in a pit trap, and it's advertising the Big Tasty. I don't know what country it's from.
I think American, maybe.
Okay. Well, this one was in English, but this one was in English, but I also saw this commercial in Dutch on YouTube, so I'm not exactly sure what countries had the Big Tasty. I don't remember the Big Tasty.
No, neither.
Anyway, it's set 9,800 years ago, and it's, so the spin here is that if the Big Tasty had existed 9,800 years ago, then the Mooly Mammoth would still be around today. So it's tastier than...
I guess, except or... I don't know. Depends if we started to make them out of mammoth too, and then it would just be, yeah, be gone
exactly
faster.
That's exactly what I thought.
Right?
Yeah. That is the flaw in this otherwise logically perfect effort. But they show what mammoths would be like in the modern day, and it's basically like a kind of Flintstones riff. So they have them being used as tennis ball projectors, as a car wash, and as a source of wool, which is quite amusing. But yeah, very, very tenuous link. But at least it's the right time that's mentioned. Like there were mammoths around 9,800 years ago. So yeah, I'll give it plus for that. They use a pit trap, which we don't really have a lot of evidence for in the paleo record, but there's a site called Font de Gomme in France, which has mammoth art, and one of the mammoths looks like it might be falling into a pit trap.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like that's what's depicted, or it could be a totally different meaning, but to modernize it kind of looks like they've made a pit trap and the mammoth is falling into it. And we do have sort of zooarchaeological evidence of kind of cliff drives for mammoths. I'm thinking of Côte de Saint-Brulé in Jersey, I think, which has mammoths that are basically run over a cliff and incapacitated and then butchered at leisure.
We have one for bison, I think, in Alberta.
Mm. Sure, yeah, for bison, like right up until at modern times, that was a kind of hunting strategy.
Uh-huh.
So there's no reason why it wouldn't have been used for ancient bison or mammoths as well.
I was also thinking that this mammoth hunting scene in this commercial looks a lot like a painting, which is on the cover of a book I mentioned a few episodes ago that I read over Christmas, The Invention of Prehistory. And I think the painting was by Zdeněk Burian, a paleo artist. This book has a whole chapter on the way the Stone Age has been depicted in art. And so I was wondering wondering how much inspiration it drew from that actual painting.
Yeah, it's a kind of a classic image of a whole bunch of cave people around a kind of trapped mammoth, just jabbing it with spears.
Mm-hmm.
So these ones have mostly, apart from the Doritos one, which has a dinosaur, these ones have all been quite good at keeping the fauna of the cave people. correct-ish. But now we kind of throw that out the window. So the next advert is for FedEx, where a guy basically finds an enormous pteranodon, which has really weird wings. That was the thing that I noticed, is that the wings on this pteranodon really just don't look right. But he ties a stick to its leg, and it's flying off to deliver this stick message somewhere. But then it gets eaten by a T-Rex. And I think he's supposed to be a Neanderthal. He's got a bit of a brow ridge. He goes back to his home cave.
A bit.
Yeah, and tells them that that the message has not been received because the Pteranodon got eaten. And the other cave person asked him, why didn't use FedEx? And then he gets fired, even though FedEx isn't invented yet.
The prosthetics on these cave people are the worst out of any commercial I think we've seen. They're so overdone. They somehow are not just a brow ridge, but they're almost like an entire goggle around their eyes. Their eyes are so recessed because of these brow ridges.
Yeah, they look like aliens or sick or something, right?
Yeah.
All right, next one is Budweiser again. Quite a sizable advertising budget for them.
Count on Budweiser to make the first sexist commercial we're going to review here.
Yeah. So we have Neanderthal. I mean, there's a lot of that's not explained in this advert. So where he gets a bottle of Budweiser falls out of the sky and hits him on the head. Where does it come from?
This is a common theme. Just modern products appear in the past with no explanation. The Doritos, the McDonald's cheeseburger, now a Budweiser. We're going to see a lot more of this. Just anachronistic modern objects in the past.
Yeah. Anyway, it knocks him out. And he dreams of, in my notes, I've got a sexy lady running towards him on the beach.
Sexy blonde lady, bingo.
Yeah. And she's running towards him and he's running towards her. And then just as they're about to meet, he wakes up. And he wakes up to a Neanderthal lady waking him up. And she is the antithesis of the dream woman that he's just been dreaming about. Though I'm not sure. I mean, was it possibly the same woman just in the Neanderthal prosthetics?
I don't know. She's wearing a lot of prosthetics. It didn't even occur to me to look for that.
But she looks like him. So it's the whole idea that, again, like what works for him isn't good enough for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would a cave person be attracted to somebody of essentially a different species? Like, this looked like it could be like a Homo erectus. I thought the prosthetics were pretty good, at least on the guy. On the woman, she's got really crooked teeth because they're really playing up how ugly she is. But I thought he looked pretty good for a Homo erectus. But why would a Homo erectus be attracted to a modern Homo sapiens? Like, why would we assume that? Well, I know why we assume, because I just read this book, The Invention of Prehistory. It's all about racism, and it's all about projecting onto everybody who's not us something, you know, a lesser version of humanity, right?
Yeah, although, I mean, we also know that Homo sapiens and Neanderthals interbred, and Neanderthals and Denisovans interbred, and Denisovans and Homo sapiens interbred. So it's a fuzzy sort of boundary for sure. And yeah. There's maybe a ghost lineage of Homo erectus in some of the sapiens and Neanderthal lineages too. So never underestimate human horniness, I think, is probably the answer there. But yeah, so it does come across quite sexist. So he wakes up to his Neanderthal partner, and then he decides to hit himself again on the head with the Budweiser ball so he can dream of his Baywatch lady again.
Yep.
And then the next one is Bud Light. So same company. I don't know if it's slightly better in that it wasn't sexist, I don't think.
This was the Super Bowl one too. So this is like,
oh, right. So very appropriate. So they're moving a giant stone ice box. There's like lots of them pushing it. It's got Bud Light in it. That's not commented upon. They're going to be late for the party. But then one of them has a bright idea and invents the wheel to get the Bud Light to the party, and they think, okay, problem solved. But then they don't use the wheel as a wheel. They turn it on its side as like some kind of platter and put their heavy rock ice box on top of that. But yeah, they eventually get to the party, and the guy said, well, wheels suck, which is quite funny. And then when they're trying to open the buds to get at them, he smashes it with a rock. And then the final line of the advert is, bottle openers suck. So that actually made me chuckle a little bit.
Wah wah, cavemen are stupid.
Yeah. But they do have access to Bud Ice.
Yeah.
Or Bud Light, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one is for cheese.
This was a Canadian one.
Okay, so in Canada you have adverts just for cheese, like it's a new concept for you guys.
Yeah, from the Dairy Council or the Dairy Board or something.
Have you tried cheese? So that's not really something that exists in the UK.
You have no idea what the cheese commercials were like in the 1990s in Canada. Can you remember the cheese guy who would just like walk around oblivious to the world around him, just like thinking up ideas of recipes to make with cheese?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Do you like milk but find it too liquid? Try cheese. anyway, so it's got a cave person who comes home. I think, do they speak English or is it just translated?
I think it's translated.
Okay, so he says, honey, I'm home. Where's the meat? No meat. Cheese. And then everyone goes, ooh, and they bring in a wheel of cheese. And then
a giant wheel of cheese.
A giant wheel of cheese, like, you know, thousands of dollars worth of cheese. And then he starts to roll it and thinks, good idea. So cheese helps him to invent the wheel, which is great. And then the tagline I just found amusing, because it just, you've got cheese, you've got choice. I mean, that's inspired. That is inspired.
But the voiceover also says before that, been hunting around for meal ideas, start with cheese and your meals will evolve. So we have an evolution pun here.
That's great. The first one, though, isn't it? That's the first time in this playlist that we have any mention of evolution.
Yeah, it is, I think.
And then, well, talking about the devolution of cheese, we've got a whole bunch of milk adverts now. So,
but at no point in time was milk ever shown or mentioned. Like, the only way you know it's for milk is that it is labeled that, right?
Yeah, at the end. That's true.
I think this is a whole bunch of commercials cut together in one video. So I think each one would have ended with something about, like, drink milk, right? The premise of all these is that the cavemen are always trying to drink pop or eat a hot dog or something unhealthy. And they're like, instead of eating unhealthy things, you should drink a ton of milk.
I laughed because halfway through I was getting bored watching them, right? And then I paid attention to one of the comments and it was just this person getting angry that was like, oh yeah, well, my friend's lactose intolerant. He gets sick drinking milk, but when I give him soda pop, he's perfectly fine. Wow, this is not personal. It's not aimed at you. Like, go sit down. You need time out from the internet.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. It's like something like, what, 60-70% of the human population are lactose intolerant. Lactose tolerance is a minority position.
Yeah.
And that's fine if you're in sort of kind of pastoral Africa or Northern Europe, but anywhere else, you're advertising something that is going to make people sick and not going to make them particularly healthy because
but then you just don't give them the runs.
Yeah. It's just propaganda, essentially.
All of this is propaganda.
Dairy Council.
Yeah,
all advertising is propaganda. You're spot on there.
There hasn't been anything healthy so far. It's all been junk food. Like high processed.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't find anything like paleo diet related when I was searching for all this. I'm sure we have some paleo diet caveman commercials, but none of them came up.
Yeah. Anyway, these adverts, they all have the same kind of, like Josh was saying, that all kind of animated Neanderthals. The first one is they can't open. Is it a fizzy cap?
Yeah, it's like a
on
pop.
On a bottle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They try to open it on a rock. But the rock isn't a rock. It's actually a dinosaur. and it eats the guy. And then the I think the tagline is something like survival of the fittest.
It's always been survival of the fittest.
And then the dinosaur farts having eaten the guy.
I think that's being translated to like fitness as in physical fitness. So if you're drinking a pop, you're not physically fit. If you're going to drink milk, then you'll be healthy.
Which, has issues as well.
Yeah.
And then next one is the caveman finds a screw top soda, shakes it, and opens it, and it makes a loud fizzing noise. And this fizz noise alerts a pair of Smilodon, and that comes over the hill. His two buddies, like Scarper, pretty quick, but he's so intent on the soda that he gets eaten by the Smilodon, which have long tails. They're pretty well animated, but the long tails, that's a rookie error. And then having, again, tagline of survival of the fittest. And then also there's always a bigger fish kind of punchline to this one as well. So after finishing off eating the guy, one of the Smilodons burps, and that attracts a dinosaur to come over and eat him as well. Next one, caveman. This time he finds a can, which is a great name, actually, for a drink, which I don't know if you guys noticed what the name of the drink was in these adverts.
No.
It's called Burple. No. Like purple, but with a B. I thought that was good. And then, so he shakes the can and opens it, and it squirts in his eye, blinding him. And then, while he's blinded, he gets squashed underfoot by an enormous tyrannosaur. And again, survival of the fittest. And the sort of punchline is, you see the tyrannosaur in the distance trying to scrape this squashed caveman off the sole of his foot, which I think is also a comedy idea used in a Larson cartoon. There's a Larson cartoon of a mammoth like looking at its foot and finding like there's a squashed Neanderthal there, and
saying,
I wonder what that smell was.
Well, it also won't be the last time we see that in our commercials here, because several more people get stepped on.
Okay.
Yeah. So this next one, it's quite discriminatory. So there's a junk food eating caveman who's slower and larger than his kind of compatriots, and he's getting chased by like three raptors, like velociraptors type, Deinonychus type, small theropods, and they have Jurassic Park style slapper arms rather than more anatomically correct clapper arms. This one was actually quite funny though. So these cave people get to a little stand of trees and they all climb up them to escape from the raptors. But the one who is slower and larger, he's so large that the tree, it basically bends because of his weight, and it bends him right down towards where the velociraptors are. And so he gets eaten, essentially. And we know he gets eaten because the end of the advert is the velociraptor sitting beside the tree using his bones as a toothpick. Amusingly macabre.
I enjoyed it. He looked so satisfied. Just as you were telling that story, my chubbiest foster kitten was trying to get up on the desk and couldn't make it because he couldn't pull his body up.
No.
It was very pitiful.
Yeah, you got to protect him from raptors at all times.
Yeah.
Next one was the three cavemen. Again, this time they find a can, a different can. But as he's looking at it, it's reflecting light because it's a shiny metal can. Mm-hmm. And that attracts a pterosaur who eats him. Yeah, that one was fairly basic. Next one is caveman beside a hot volcano and a mammoth and a drink machine. And he's got a drink of, it looks like a pint to me. Maybe that's just my biases showing.
But it looks like it's supposed to be cola.
Yeah, okay. He's got a big glass of cola. And because it's volcanoes and heat, he needs ice. So he goes over to the ice machine. But the ice machine doesn't stop. It just keeps going and produces an infinite amount of ice, which seems to trigger the ice age. And he gets frozen in place beside the ice machine. And then, like thousands of years later, or whatever, he's like a solid ice block. And then the last cube comes out of the ice machine, and as if he's like being frozen in liquid nitrogen, it breaks his arm completely. or more recently, like in Snowpiercer, where they put his guy's arm out of the train. Yeah, so that was it's quite a bit dark. Drink milk. Or else. Next one is Lucky Charms, which I don't think I've had a bowl of Lucky Charms for probably about 30 years, maybe. But I know from Austin Powers that they have a big imprint in the kind of American psyche.
For sure.
Yeah. Although this ever makes
my
no
regular
sense.
Breakfast my entire childhood.
Really? Okay.
It's amazing how much sugar my parents let me eat.
I liked Count Chocula better, which is like the same but chocolate instead of fruity.
Okay. So I'm aware of Lucky Charms and a slightly xenophobic caricature of a leprechaun being their mascot. So the leprechaun's being chased over pillars of stone by two. Are these like regular characters, these two that are always after his Lucky Charms?
There's always some kind of kids after his Lucky Charms.
All right.
I don't know if they're the same ones or not.
Okay. And then because of the Lucky Charms, there's like what, a shamrock, a diamond. I mean, aren't they all just the sweets of a pack of cards? So like diamonds, clubs.
No, it's a rainbow.
They probably They probably used to be, but like they keep adding new marshmallows. So okay. I think this commercial is for adding the new hourglass marshmallow.
Which can control time.
Which controls time.
Yeah. So the leprechaun uses his hourglass charm to go back to Dino Time. And then it's no better for him because there's cave people that try and chase him for his charms anyway.
Plus the dinosaur.
Plus the dinosaur. So, yeah. Next one's for Cocoa Krispies. This must be the oldest one that we watched because it's in black and white.
I think so, yeah.
And it's like a Muppet-y style slow-mo, stop motion, something like that. And it's got a guy who's balancing on a stone wheel. And it's something you see often in really old adverts. It's just how much extrapolation there is about the product, which you don't really get in more modern adverts with a more kind of media savvy population. Mm. So he's basically like this guy's like balancing on the wheel like it was a barrel and walking along. Mm-hmm. And they ask him what he's doing, and he's called Og. He invented the wheel, and he invented it to eat cereal on the go. So he talks about Choco Rice Cocoa Krispies, which I think are the same as Cocoa Pops or whatever today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much information about how great Cocoa Krispies are as this Muppet is going along on his wheel. And then it ends when he bumps into a dinosaur. And that's about it. I'm sure this blew kids' minds back in the 50s.
Compare this to some other commercials we're going to talk about later where they're for, like, some of these commercials are for products I've never heard of. Like, I think the Rexona ad later we're going to talk about. I'm like, I have no idea what this ad is for until I get to the end of the commercial.
Yeah. Then the next lot is, I think, probably my favorites of the lot. And the only ones I was aware of before, because I have seen these. And I think there are more than just these ones, but they give a good flavor. And they're just really nice.
They're also super educational.
Yeah, they're good in many ways. So they all have a similar theme, which is some cave people, lots of them, animatedly chasing after some kind of giant prehistoric beast, which either escapes or chases them back. And then it has the tagline, "Hungry? Try cup noodle Nissen." That's the whole thing. And the theme throughout is always the animal is much, much bigger than it would be in real life. And then I had a thought about halfway through, maybe it's just that the cave people are supposed to be much, much smaller. I'm not sure which way around it is. Anyway, so the first one's of a Brontotherium, and it's really nice. It's a stop-motion animated advert. So it's like Ray Harryhausen, Clash of the Titans, Chasing the Argonauts, or, you know, 1 million years BC style animation. Just really nicely done. Lots of character. This is real kind of artistry involved in it. And Brontotherium are kind of very early neogene mammals from the Americas. I think part of the Owynthotherium group or Brontotherium group. But they basically look like giant rhinos with weird bone rather than horn ornaments on their face. And so it's really nicely done.
We talked about them on our last episode and their nomenclature, because they're Brontotherium or Brontops or Megaserops. Mm-hmm. Or we were talking about that last time.
Yeah. And it's changed a lot. But it's very nicely animated. It looks good. It makes me want to eat pot noodles, as they're called over here. The next one's of a mammoth. So they're chasing an enormous, it's a fairly hairless mammoth. It doesn't appear to have a lot of hair. Maybe that's just a problem with, I know that hair is difficult to animate in stop motion. It causes problems because it kind of appears to move between frames, which is an issue. And so it chases them one way, then the other, and then it's hungry, try cup noodles, blend this in. Next one's Owynthotherium, another one of these kind of North American weird giant mammals. You've got hundreds of people and they're all over the Endotherium's back and it shakes them off. The last person that's hanging on doesn't get shaken off. He gets hit with the tail and then kind of falls off, and then it advertises for the cup noodles. The next one I didn't quite understand, but even though it was really nice. So the next one's Megatherium, which is one of the largest ground sloths found, I think, mostly in South America. Megatherium. And it's really nicely animated. It does have lots of hair. And it's also got a baby ground sloth hanging onto its back, which is so how modern sloths kind of carry their kids around as well. And so it starts with the sort of cave people. They're get to a tree and climb up it. And then the giant sloth and the baby come along to the tree. And the giant sloth uses its long tongue, again, another anatomical feature, which they did actually have, to eat the leaves. And then, what?
Thought that it was eating all the fruit out of the tree. The people were climbing the tree to get the fruit. And then before they got to the fruit, the Megatherium came and ate all the fruit.
Okay. And so that's why they were hungry.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
No, I didn't get that. Okay. The next one's a slightly different in that it's more kind of obviously cartoony. So you've got a moa, which are the extinct Paleonath. Flightless birds from New Zealand. Only found there. Not as big as it appears to be in this advert. Also, I didn't think that the animation was that good. It looked quite kind of featherless. It didn't hold its head in a very moa-like position. It was more ostrich-like. The best guess is that moa held their heads quite low down, like a cassowary, because they were moving through forested areas. Anyway, so they're chasing this moa to eat it. It jumps up just as it gets to the cliff edge. And as it jumps up, all the cave people run off the cliff. But then in kind of Tex Avery, Looney Tunes style, they're just there, like standing on air until the moa kind of taps its feet again. And then they all fall, presumably, to their death at the bottom of the cliff. So, that was more obviously cartoony than the other ones. But it was quite funny. Then the next one is Syntheticerus, which is not a extinct mammal I'm particularly familiar with, but I do know it's pretty small. It's like the 2 meters tall, so the size of a big moose, maybe, but not as huge as it appears to be in this advert. And it essentially jumps into a giant gopher hole as it's being chased, and then keeps popping back up. And it's like they're playing whack-a-mole. I think that's the idea. That every time they get to the hole, they think it's in, it pops up somewhere else. And it sounds like a sheep. And it turns out that there's not just one of them. There's lots of them. And so they haven't really been playing whack-a-mole. It's just been lots of Syntheticerus hiding in these holes. Next one's Quetzalcoatlus. So kind of giant pterosaur. It takes food to their nest. The next kind of mountaintop, there's people. And it drops a stone on them. I don't know if they were trying to eat the Quetzalcoatlus or its babies or whatever. Next one has two giant creatures in it. So it's got a giant octopus that gets sort of chased. I mean, it was hidden off screen for quite a lot of time. It was just the tentacle that they were animating. And then there's a giant squid, which obviously is not going to be on land. The octopus, yeah, sure, that can come on land for a little bit of time, but not a squid. Anyway, this one is advertising the seafood cup noodle. So I thought that was quite amusing that they had seafood monsters to advertise the seafood cup noodle. And there's another one where they've got a giant wheel on a beach. I don't know why. And then they have a severed octopus arm, like from a giant octopus, which they're carrying about. But this arm has a kind of sentient life of its own. So it manages to escape. And then it's another seafood noodle advert.
Yeah, I didn't understand this one at all. No. What was the wheel for?
Yeah, it was just there.
Yeah.
Maybe to make it show that it was olden times. Because we do still have octopus today. and then it kind of changes animation style. So the next ones are slightly more animated and less claymation or stop motion. So this one is more involved as well. So now instead of hundreds of people, we just have a family of cave people, like a mom, a dad, and a child. And in this advert, the man is given the club and told to go out and get some food by his partner, wife, whatever. He opens the door. His cave has a door, which was nice. And then there's an enormous, like incredulously huge mammoth just outside the door, and it squashes him. So that trope again of being squashed by an extinct animal. And then now it's the next one, the same family. This time we see a moa in the background, so a giant sort of flightless bird. And the cave child throws a small rock very badly. and it doesn't go anywhere near the moa. The wife throws a bigger rock. It doesn't do anything, but it gets close to the moa. And the dad picks up and throws the biggest rock, but ends up squashing himself. So there, that's it. Next one is you see them at a cliff edge, this family of three, and they've got a giant hook on a rope. So you think, oh, they must be doing some fishing. This one did make me laugh. So they're about to start fishing, but then they put the cave dad on the hook and throw him off the cliff. So he's their bait for whatever it is they're getting. And I think
seems
that
like
was
they
also
put the
for
hook up his butt.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't look very comfortable. I think that was for the seafood one as well. Okay, next one is another Smilodon one. So another saber-toothed cat. And so the family of three are at a tree. The little boy hits it and gets one apple. The mum hits the tree and gets lots of apples. Then the dad hits the tree and out falls a Smilodon, which compared to all the other Nissan adverts is about the right size for a Smilodon. So it's you know, proper kind of big cat size, and it has a short tail, which impressed me. And then they chase it round and round the tree, each other. So yeah. So the next one was quite interesting too. So this is another Smilodon one. We see it sleeping beside like a big rack of meat, and the cave dad is going over to try and steal it, I think. So some kleptoparasitism, which is a very common unsuccessful strategy in the wild. But as he's about to take it, he hears, I think, cicadas in a tree nearby. So he goes over to shush the cicadas because he's worried they're going to wake up the saber tooth. And he goes back. This time he hears some frogs. So he goes over to the pond where the frogs are and shushes them so they don't wake up the saber tooth. Then he goes back and he picks up the rack of meat. And then, similarly to a previous advert, he farts. and then that wakes up the Smilodon, which eats him. So yeah, not an awful lot of original stuff going on there. But yeah, farts are funny. And getting eaten by a saber tooth is funny. And then the last Nissan one is very different from all the other ones. Also slightly xenophobic, maybe? I don't know. So you've got like a giant mammoth sitting in a circle of people, and it's stirring a cauldron and wearing a turban, I think?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's sitar music playing in the background, and not much happens while he's stirring, but then all of a sudden he starts breathing fire. All over the place. And then this is for the new cup noodle spicy curry by Nissan. I don't really know how to feel about that. Yeah. I suppose it could have been worse.
I guess the theme of all of these commercials is the same, and it is, again, it used to be hard to get food in the past, but now we have convenient instant noodles.
Yeah.
Yeah. A safer.
Much easier than chasing an Owynthetheer or a mammoth.
So I think we're almost at 50 minutes, so I think it's good if we stop here and talk about the themes and we can do another episode.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
I think we've got the message across that there's not an awful lot of thought has gone into these, but there is quite a lot of artistry in some of them. So definitely the Nissan ones, they're really nice examples of paleo art in terms of...
And so good in saying like the proper names of animals that we don't see much representation of, right? So if I'd seen these when I was a kid, which I didn't, but I would have loved them, and then I would have gone into the library and looked up what they were and learned all about them. And yeah.
I don't know if the original adverts had the name of the animal on them, but I think those might have just been put in by the person that spliced them together.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I think those were added by the person who added them to YouTube. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely like one of those things where I don't know how we'd have done this in a pre-internet age, but be like, oh, what was that crazy creature on that advert I saw on that channel that I can't remember?
Yeah, you just have to go and look through one of the big books.
You have to ask a librarian or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is something, you know, kids, you can still do that today. Go and ask a librarian if you have a question.
Yeah. Libraries are fantastic places.
Yeah. And don't ask ChatGPT.
No.
Yeah, why would you ask a librarian when you can just ask ChatGPT on your own phone?
No, don't do that.
So it's funny how like to invent the wheel seems to be the big thing throughout, right?
Wheel.
Yeah.
Fire.
Yep.
Sexism. That also seems to be invented.
Cavemen invented everything, but at the same time are too stupid to know what to do with the things they invented.
Yeah. Yep. And dinosaurs living with cavemen, I think, throughout most of these, if not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there was a surprising number that didn't have dinosaurs, right?
Which ones?
Depends.
Yeah, the ones that you're surprised
that they
didn't.
Do have dinosaurs or that they don't.
The ones that didn't have dinosaurs just didn't have any other animals.
Which one was the worst? The ones that we've talked about.
The worst of the ones we talked about?
Yeah.
Well, the Budweiser one.
Yeah,
the sexist was pretty one. Offensive.
Yeah.
But I did like the look of it. I thought the caveman looked like a pretty good Homo erectus or archaic homo. And I like that I think it must have been like 90s, early 2000s. So it's got like the pretty saturated colors, which I always find appealing.
So what you're saying, Josh, is you can excuse the sexism if the prosthetics are good.
What I'm saying is I wish that a commercial that looked as good was a better commercial.
Okay.
I think for me, the most boring one was the one from the 70s McDonald's one where he just has the hamburger and the egg. Mm-hmm. That was kind of boring.
I dislike the most the Happy Meal one set in the UK because, I mean, apart from having a club in his hand, that just looks like any typical UK person with a unibrow, of which there are many, talking gibberish. I mean, if it could have just been from Manchester, and that would explain everything.
Kim, we should clarify that McDonald's commercial you're talking about, the Finnish one, it looks like it was filmed in the 70s, but that is a stylistic choice because at the end it has the modern ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it commercial.
Oh.
So that's like a modern McDonald's commercial made to look like it was filmed. Made to look like a retro 70s caveman movie.
It could also be that maybe Finland is still in the 70s.
That's just what we watched a Finnish movie. The Rare Exports was a Finnish movie. That was a really good movie.
Oh, that was really good. Yeah.
I don't want to get. I know all the Finns I know are capable of killing a man with a finger, so I don't really want to upset them. So I retract that.
It's also possible that the commercial wasn't necessarily a Finnish commercial because we've seen a few of these McDonald's commercials. I saw them when I was compiling the list in multiple languages, and especially if your cavemen are only doing a grunt language, you can translate that in whatever language you want, right?
Yeah, that's true. Also, that's the reason Canadian why caveman one.
Commercials work so good internationally because you can film a grunt language and you can put whatever subtitles you want on it.
That's a good point. And that makes it quite economical, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The cheese one was kind of weird, too. Like, it was kind of boring until the end when they invented the wheel with it, right?
But, Kim, when you've got cheese, you've got choice.
That's true. You do. And everything is better with cheese.
But, Ross, that was from a series of Canadian cheese commercials.
Oh, right. And there's a whole series of them.
Not a series of cavemen, but just a series of commercials cheese. Telling you to eat cheese for supper.
I mean, are Canadians like resistant to cheese or something? Like, do they just...
It's all marketing. There's the Dairy Board of Canada or the Dairy Council of Canada or whatever, and its whole job is to promote dairy so that the dairy farmers can make money. I guess maybe they'll like subsidize dairy. I know in the United States they subsidize dairy like crazy, and then they have like caves full of stored
milk
cheese
and butter mountains.
Yeah.
But then in America they have like government cheese as well, which is just whatever scraped off the top, I think. Do they have government cheese in Canada?
No.
I don't know. I don't know. Like cheese is definitely something that seems like it doesn't need to be advertised. Mm. Right? It's like try water, try air. Right?
But have you tried?
I do remember them. Yeah.
Well, more recently, certainly in Manitoba, I don't know if this was in the rest of Canada, Kim, but, you know, there's a movement away from dairy milk towards like non-dairy milks, like almond and soy milk and oat milk and stuff.
Okay.
And there were ads around Winnipeg here for sure, where the slogan was, "Nut milk is not milk." And like, so
oh dear, oh
the
dear.
The dairy industry is scared of
fighting
movement
back.
Away from people using dairy, and like, I don't know who they thought they were going to win over with that, because it's like the 13-year-old people who are
boys,
drinking
maybe.
It, yeah, exactly. The people who are drinking milk alternatives are intentionally doing it because it's not milk. So like,
yeah.
Who? It was such a weird reactive thing. And there were other commercials too from like dairy farmers. They're like, you know, it's like a big sentimental commercial where they go to a farm and the dairy farmer is talking about, oh, we had this farm for 400 years and we've been growing our own cows and we pet them every morning and feed them chocolate.
I mean, also, who is the audience for that kind of adverts? So are there people out there who think that almond milk is milk from cows that are fed almonds, or like soy milk is from cows that are fed soy? I mean, possibly.
But that's the thing. I think that this was a very like a misled ad campaign, because like, I have no idea who they thought they were going to win back by reminding people, when you're drinking milk alternatives, you're not drinking milk. And like, yeah, that's why I chose the milk alternatives. Yeah.
Well, and nut milk is not milk. It's like a great t-shirt slogan that teenagers are going to wear, and it's just going to make nut milk cooler. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now, haven't we talked in the past about the crazy statistic about how many people think that chocolate milk comes from brown cows? Or have I just imagined that?
I think, yeah.
We might have said that. We've done a lot of episodes.
So that's maybe the audience for telling people that, you know, almond milk's not from cows that eat almonds. It's from something
imagine
else.
Imagine someone like you telling them that, and they like do the spit take of their almond milk. They're like, what have I been drinking?
Now, that would be a great advert.
Yeah.
You should sell that one. That would be great. Oh, dear.
Well, do we want to wrap up part one on Stone Age advertising?
Yeah.
And we'll continue next time and see if we can find any new themes or just repeat the same things over and over.
Mm. We could also
throw some new things
to people if they've got any adverts they want us to include.
Yeah. We got the Geico ones coming up, which are always good.
Obviously, we'll have recorded it by the time they get back to us.
Yeah, we'll record it by the time we hear from anybody, but
we can start a third list, though.
Yeah.
Do you have questions, comments, or movie requests? We want to hear from you. Find us on Blue Sky and Facebook at SOTSA Podcast. Send us an email to screensofthestoneage@gmail.com or visit our website at screensofthestoneage.com.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.